You're listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Toronto West. For more information, visit harvesttorontowest.ca.
Just want to give you an idea, church, of where we're headed. There's a long weekend entering into the summer months of July, and today is actually the official end of our ministry year. We've seen God do great things through this past ministry year. We've seen baptism. We've seen salvation. We've seen transformation in the lives of so many people. We've seen God at work and affirming and reassuring us again of his leadership in this church. And so where we're going in the next few weeks in July, my wife and I, my family and I, we're going to be heading away just for a little bit. It's going to be 3 weeks out. We're going to miss you a lot. 3 weeks out of this pulpit, but 2 weeks away, and 1 week I have the privilege of preaching at Harvest Oakville at the 20th of July. But we have some great preachers coming in, and I don't want you to miss this. We have Carl Whittingstall coming. We have Pastor Craig Turnbull coming. We have Pastor Ian Hales from Harvest Durham coming. And so you're not going to want to miss what God has for us this summer. My prayer, and even as I go away, is that God would keep us strong this summer, strong in our worship, strong in our placing our affection on him, strong and not complacent, because something about the sun makes us complacent. Something about the warm weather makes us want to take it easy. My prayer for my life and my prayer for us is that we don't view our Christian life as something we can pull back in, but it's something we continue to press hard towards. It's Jesus Christ, the object of our affection, all our love. So today, we are finishing up chapter 2 of Philippians. We wrap up chapter 2. That'll leave us with two chapters left to go through verse by verse, and we're going to carry on when I get back, and that's going to take us through to the new ministry year, and some of the best things God has for us are still ahead of us in Philippians. And so, be in prayer for our church, be in prayer for all that God is doing. Okay, for this morning, take your Bibles and go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, the title of this morning's message is this: Getting Serious About Servanthood. Getting serious about servanthood. And so if you don't have a Bible today, you can slip up your hand. One of the ushers on either side would love to get a Bible to you. If you don't own a Bible, that Bible will be our gift to you. You can take it. You can write your name in it. You can mark it up. We just want you to read it and have your life radically transformed by it. Getting serious about servanthood. This whole thing about servanthood is not a joke. It's not a joke. I can be pretty serious sometimes, right? I can be pretty serious. Well, today is going to be a serious message because servanthood is serious. Philippians chapter 2, verses 17 to 30. We addressed verses 17 and 18 last week. We're going to dip right back into it today. Verse 17 says, Paul writes to the Philippian church, "Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you." Verse 18, "Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me." Verse 19 says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by the news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also." Verse 25, "I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near death, but God had mercy on him. Not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service." So there is really a lot in this passage of Scripture that I want to bring to you. There's a lot that can be taken from this passage of Scripture and applied directly to our lives this morning. And I pray that you would take these things to heart. This is a very personal section of the letter to the from the Apostle Paul to the Philippians. It's a very personal section. He's exhorting them and telling them, I'm sending people to you. I miss you. I long to be with you. But remember, Paul is in prison. Remember, Paul's execution is looming, and he has care and he has concern for the church. And so that's why he wants to send Timothy. He wants to send Epaphroditus because he cares for them. But there are a few key things that we see in the service of Paul, in the service of Timothy, in the service of Epaphroditus, that if we apply this to our lives, we will see God use us in ways we never thought possible. So getting serious about servanthood means, you can jot this down, means getting sacrificial. It means getting sacrificial. Getting serious about servanthood means getting sacrificial. And I know that this was one of the points in last week's message, but I want to come back to it because it's worth coming back to. This whole idea of being sacrificial is fundamental to the nature of the Christian life and Christian ministry and Christian servanthood. And so a definition of sacrifice is this: the act of losing or surrendering something. Surrendering or losing in order to gain an objective. And the Christian life is, in fact, a lifetime of surrendering and losing our lives for the objectives of Jesus Christ, for the purposes of Jesus Christ. Listen, I believe if we want to see God move in our lives individually, if we want to see God move in our church collectively, we have to understand that without sacrifice, there will be we won't be able to see what God wants to do in our midst. It requires sacrifice. It requires cost. And getting serious about servanthood means getting sacrificial. On the screen for you, Matthew 16, verse 25 says, Jesus says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." That's the Christian life. That's the Christian life. It's losing our lives, losing our agenda, losing what we want for God, for Jesus. Surrender and sacrifice to see all that he wants to do in our lives accomplished. And Jim Elliot, a missionary who was martyred viciously and brutally, wrote this. They found this in his journal. It's on the screen for you. "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." He is no fool. It's wise to sacrifice, to give up the things you can't even keep anyways. I mean, we're going to pass from this life into the next one day. We're so busy sometimes trying to accumulate for ourselves and hold on for ourselves to the things that we're going to lose one day anyways. But Jim Elliot says he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I pray that we would be a church of people who are ready and willing to sacrifice, to give up the things we cannot keep for the sake of something immeasurably more valuable and something that we will gain eternal life and the fruit of our labor and our sacrifice carrying on to eternal life. Getting serious about servanthood means getting sacrificial. If you notice the text 17 and 18, he says, "Even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Likewise, you also should rejoice with me." We talked about this last week, but just to review, better rendering of 17 is this: Because or since I am being poured out like a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you. The original Greek has it as one word. The entire sentence is one word, and it's translated this: to be poured out in honor of a deity. And so the Jews and Gentiles both would have understood this imagery, this language of the drink offering being poured out on the sacrifice. It was a symbol of the worship rising up and being received by the deity as a sacrifice. And as we discussed last week, it was a ritual of pouring wine onto a burning sacrifice, again, symbolizing the rising sacrifice into the nostrils of the deity. But remember, Paul is illustrating something that we need to cling on to here. Through this language of sacrifice, Paul is illustrating that his life, in fact, is being poured out like a drink offering. It's a sacrifice being offered to Jesus Christ. And he says to the Philippians, and your sacrifice on the altar, my drink offering, I'm a drink offering being poured upon your sacrificial service. And so it wasn't just Paul who was living a life of sacrifice. See, sometimes we think that it's the pastor who lives a life of sacrifice, or it's the elders, or it's the key leaders who live lives of sacrifice. In fact, it was the entire Philippian church that was living this way. If you read the book of Acts, what you will find is the early church is marked by not only the apostles living for Jesus, not only the deacons and the leaders living for Jesus, it was the entire church. It was the entire church living lives of missionary sacrifice for something worth much more than our temporal lives. And so lest we, loved ones, think that we can move into a pattern of complacency, which means I come to church and maybe I go to a small group and maybe I serve in a ministry and that's the extent of my ministry. It's not that way at all. God is calling us. God is calling you. God is calling you and I in this city, in your workplace, in your family, in this time in history. Listen, we're living in devastating times. He's calling you. God is calling us to live lives of sacrifice. We would be foolish to hang on to the things and live for the things we cannot keep. We'd be wise to lose those things in order to gain what we cannot lose. Eternity with Jesus Christ, a life of eternal joy, eternal life, eternal joy with Jesus Christ. Paul's life was being poured out as a drink offering, and I pray that as God continues to work in this church, what we will find here is one by one, individual after individual, being convinced in our hearts that this is how I must live. It's not, again, for the person who goes to seminary. It's not for the person who's trained theologically. It's for every single one of us, this life of sacrifice. And listen, if we want to be serious about serving Jesus, if we want to be serious about servanthood, we must be serious about sacrifice. Because sacrifice is required, is what Jesus Christ calls us to. So what does this look like practically in our prosperous and blessed context? I mean, it could look like so many things, but practically for you and me, what does this look like? That I live for Jesus, that I pin my hopes on Jesus, that I set my affections on Jesus, that I sacrifice my very life for Jesus. It means that every day I choose prayer over the internet. Every day, come on, you spend your time. Where are you spending your time is an indication of the treasure of your heart. It means for me and you, practically, I'm not on Facebook for 3 hours. I'm in prayer. It means practically that we give ourselves completely to the study of scriptures rather than flipping through the iPad and surfing the net. It means that we give ourselves sacrificially to serving, to putting our hands and feet to work for Jesus Christ. It means that we give sacrificially of our resources, cheerfully, generously, rather than spending selfishly and foolishly on our own desires. These are practical things that we need to implement into our lives if we want to begin to learn what it means practically to sacrifice for Jesus. It means that my life is not my own. It means we have a biblical understanding of who we are. My life is not my own. And listen, if you're like me, you know that the things of this world will get your attention very quickly. You know, as I'm sitting here this morning or in this time of worship, I'm thinking to myself, just this whole past week is just being rewound in my mind, and I'm thinking, oh, how much the things of this world are drawing your affections, drawing my affections, how much I get caught up in my own little things, and how much things are drowning my heart so often that I needed to just come before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I want to live for you. I want to sacrifice my life for you. I don't want to be so concerned about the things that really don't matter at all for eternity. Yet how easy it is for us to get sucked in to those things. Living a life of sacrifice, it means that we consider ourselves representatives of Christ first, and students or doctors or lawyers or business people or teachers or whatever second. We are representatives of Jesus Christ. It means that my plans and goals and aims are rooted in God's priorities. Listen, I am aware these are big things that I'm saying. And if you don't receive it as, wow, this is a lot, I mean, I want you to receive it that way. It's a lot. It's a high calling. The bar is high. Jesus says, anyone who wants to gain a life, you got to lose it. But if you seek to gain this world, you're going to lose it. And Jesus says, if you've come to me and you've put your faith and trust in me, and it's time to get serious, loved ones. It's time to get serious about servanthood. It's time to understand what matters most and who matters most. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. Only what's done for Christ will last. We got to understand that. All the other things we're doing, we do to the glory of God, but only what's done for Christ will last. Paul understood that. That's why he's rejoicing, even though execution is looming. The world, loved ones, sees Christ. The world hears Christ. The world experiences Christ through, listen, the sacrifice and devotion of Christians that are completely sold out for him. You got to believe that and you got to understand that. The world sees Christ through our sacrifices. The world sees Christ through our devotion. The world sees Christ and sees how satisfying Christ is, because we are not trying to be satisfied in the things the world says are satisfying, but we have all that we need, even if we suffer, even if we struggle, even if there's persecution. Jesus Christ is all satisfying. And if you, loved ones, if I want to be serious about servanthood, we got to get serious about sacrifice. So let me just take a moment here and let me just ask you to examine your heart. Just look at your own heart. You know, in light of what's happening all around the world, in light of the high price many Christians around the world are paying, in light of the fact that young people are being killed and tortured for the faith around the world, in light of the fact that churches can't gather like this freely in certain parts of the world, they actually have to go underground and they can't be found out. And if they're found out, it's a death sentence for them. In light of all of that, what is your sacrifice for Jesus? And what is my sacrifice for Jesus? What am I doing? How am I living? Have I devoted my life to him in such a way to say, Lord, it's all about you? And as I said earlier, there are some devastating things happening in our city. Some really, really devastating things happening. I read an article even this week about four mainline Protestant denominations that have all embraced, they've put aside God's word, and they've embraced alternative things. I mean, Christian denominations are going down. The culture is going down. And we have a task, and we have a mission. And far too many of us are sitting back twiddling our thumbs rather than saying, God, help me to live for you and make a difference in this society and in my family and in this culture. Getting serious about servanthood means getting sacrificial. Secondly, you can jot this down. It means getting authentic. It means getting authentic. Notice verse 19 to 24. Paul says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. There are all kinds of things happening in all kinds of different churches all over our city. There are all kinds of things happening in our church. Different people, different personalities, different giftings. There are all kinds of things happening. There are so many different dynamics. I get to see all kinds of different dynamics happening in the life of a church and even broader than our church. And listen, do you want to know what we are going for here in this church? I think you can say it. We're going for authentic. We're going for sincere. And listen, if you want to get serious about servanthood, you got to get serious about being authentic. You got to get serious about getting authentic. And I jotted down a few things here in my notes. I know I'm serving authentically. Listen, I want you to ask this question. Do I serve authentically? I want you to ask yourself that question. Do I serve authentically? Well, here's one way we can know right from the text, or a few ways we can know. I know I'm serving authentically if, you can jot this down, if I go wherever I'm needed. If I go wherever I'm needed. You're saying, where are you getting this from, Jason? Well, it's in the text. By the time Paul wrote the epistle to the Philippians, Timothy, who he's commending to the Philippian church, would have been traveling with him for about 10 years. And Paul spoke of Timothy as his son. He loved him. And just as a son learns from their father, Timothy also learned from the apostle Paul. Acts 18:5 tells us that Timothy was with Paul in Corinth. Acts 19:22 tells us that he was sent to Macedonia. Acts 20 verse 4 tells us that he then returned to Jerusalem with Paul. He was associated with Paul in the writings of Romans, 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, and Philemon. He also served with the apostle Paul in Ephesus. What you get from the life of Timothy, who Paul is commending to the Philippian church now, is that Timothy was a servant who went wherever he was needed. That's the reality of it. Timothy didn't say, well, where's the most prestigious, prominent place? Where will I get to preach in front of as many people? Where will be the most people in the crowd that I can go to? Timothy didn't do that. Where will it be easiest? Where will it be most affirming for me, most comfortable for me? Timothy never did that. In fact, Paul tells us that he sends Timothy, and Timothy had walked with him. Timothy, the life of Timothy displays that he went wherever he was needed. The fact that Paul says right in our text that he hopes to send Timothy soon, he gives us another indication of the servant heart of Timothy. He's willing to go to Philippi, and he's willing to go on short notice. He's willing to go on short notice, and I often look at my own life and I wonder, is that the way that I serve? Am I willing to go wherever I'm needed? You know, I'm so encouraged in this church because, you know, so many of you come to me and say these words. Jason, I'll serve anywhere in the church. Just tell me where the need is. So many say that to me. So many come to me and say, you know, it doesn't really matter. I just want to be a blessing to the church. I just want to serve Jesus. I just want to be faithful. You come to me, so many of you, and you say, I'll go anywhere. That's authentic. That's authentic. Then there are some who say, when this position opens up, Jason, let me know, and that's when I'll start serving. Well, when this opportunity opens up, let me know, and that's when I'll start getting involved. When it gets convenient for me, when it gets down to what I want to do. And I wonder how many of us can say, I serve authentically, and I know I serve authentically because I'm willing to go wherever I'm needed. Can you say that? I ask myself, can I say that? Wherever I'm needed? Wherever I'm needed? You know, often before God raises up somebody to prominent roles, their proven worth is in the willingness to go anywhere. It's willingness to go anywhere. And I pray that we would be a church full of people like that. I know I'm serving authentically if I go wherever I'm needed, but secondly, if I really care about other people, if I really care about other people, verse 20 to 21, Paul says to them, he's sending Timothy, why? He says, for I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for all they seek is their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. And the reason why Paul wanted to send Timothy is because he knew Timothy would really care. He knew Timothy would carry the burden for this church in the same way Paul carried the burden. And I know what that feels like. Listen, do you know how hard it is for me to leave over these next 3 weeks? I don't want to leave. I want to be here with our church. I don't want to go away. I want to be here with our church because I care about you. I love you. I want to make sure that you're being cared for. I want to make sure that everything's happening. But I have people that I know will carry that same burden for you. And that's how I can go away with a clear conscience. Because I know the people that will be stepping in this pulpit, they're going to come, and they're going to come with care. They're going to come with concern. And listen, a way you know that you serve authentically is if you really care about other people. So let me ask you this question. Why do you serve in the ministry you serve in? Why do you do it? The answer always needs to come down to, because I want to glorify God, but I really care about people. See, this church, ministries, it's not about building institutions. It's not about an organizational structure. It's not about building this massive machine that moves on its own and such that we don't even have to have many interactions with people anymore. It's not that at all. It's in fact all about people. Ministry is about people. Serving is about people to the glory of Jesus Christ. And so you know that you are serving authentically if, okay, let me talk to the welcome team. Welcome team, you put on those green shirts every week. And when you put on those green shirts, it's like, I can't wait to see the people. I can't wait to hug the people. I can't wait to greet the people. I can't wait to love the people. Setup team, when you get here at 6:45 every Sunday morning and you unload that trailer and you come in here and you know you're serving authentically when you say, I want this to be right so the people can benefit today. I don't want the system to be too loud because I care about the people. I don't want it to be too quiet because I want the people to get everything they can from it. I want to make sure everything's set up right because I love the people and I want to glorify God. Harvest Kids workers. Some of them are out. Some of them are in today. When you come, are you coming as an obligation or are you coming like, I can't wait to see these precious little children. I care about these precious little children. I care about the people. I care about their families. I care that they come to know Jesus one day. I care that they have all that they need. I care about the people. Or are you just doing it because you know that there's this organization called the church and they have a need and I can fill the need because I'm nice. See, we don't want to fill spots. We don't want to fill needs. We want to love people and glorify God. And you know you're serving authentically when you really care about other people. Timothy cared. That's why Paul was sending him. Timothy cared. And thirdly, I know I'm serving authentically. If I go wherever I'm needed, I really care about other people. Finally, I know I'm serving authentically if I am reliable. If I'm reliable. Verse 22 says, but you know Timothy's proven worth. The Greek word proven refers to proof after testing. And Timothy had undergone a period of testing and had proven himself faithful and equipped for the work of the ministry. He was reliable. Paul knew that he could count on him. Paul knew that he could call on him. And you know, loved ones, the reality is in many churches, there are very few people that a pastor or a leader can look to and say, I know I could count on that person. I know I can just call them anytime and I could count on them. Listen, you know, loved ones, you are serving authentically if you are reliable. If you are reliable, if your leaders can look at you and say, how would you feel this morning if someone called upon you to serve? Short notice. It wasn't in your schedule. It wasn't planned. Just a need came up. How would you feel? I know in this church, I know so many in this church. I know in this church many would feel, amen, I'd do it. I know that because I know you. But what about others? So you know you're serving authentically when you're reliable. And you're not just reliable to make a name for yourself as I am Mr. Reliable. You're reliable such that you want to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything you work at with all your heart. You want to be reliable. You want to be dependable. Not so people can view you that way, but so that you can bring maximum glory to God and the building up of his church. And so I know there's a bunch of people that I can call on if there's a need. I know that if I go away on vacation, I know that there's going to be people who are reliable in this church, making sure everything, I know that. And what about you? I pray more and more authentic service, authentic ministry, authentic servanthood, marked by I'll go wherever I'm needed. I really care about other people and I am reliable. Is that you? Are you reliable? Or are you just in it when it's convenient for you? And all of us are tempted by that sometimes. Getting serious about servanthood means getting sacrificial. It means getting authentic. And then finally this, getting serious about servanthood means getting faithful. Getting faithful. And God will use faithful people. God will use sacrificial people. God will use authentic people. And God will use faithful. If you're faithful, God will use you. Notice the text, verses 25 to 30. He says, I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for all of you and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. There's a description of faithful ministry. There's a description of faithful servanthood. There's a description of the servanthood that God is calling each and every one of us to, not only in this church, but in our families, with our spouses, with our children, in our workplaces. God is calling all of us to be faithful in our ministry to him. And faithful service and faithful ministry or faithfulness is marked by a few things right in this text. I want to pull it out for you. You can jot this down. Number one, faithful servanthood is marked by this strong love. Strong love. That's faithful servanthood. It's marked by strong love. Paul and Epaphroditus developed such a strong brotherly love as they served a common purpose. And this strong love is both created by faithful service and it's strengthened by faithful service. And that's your testimony, I know. If you serve God in this church, or if you've served faithfully anywhere, you know what it means to serve alongside other people and to feel like they are your brothers and sisters. You know, we often think to ourselves, we're a new church. We just started a year ago. We don't obviously have a building, so we have to meet in this place. And often I'll hear from people who set up this place, you know, I'm really thankful that we don't have our own building right now, because it's through the ministry of setting this all up that I'm developing this strong fellowship. I'm developing strong love for these people. We are in this for a common goal and a common purpose for the glory of Jesus Christ. There is strong love happening in the context of faithful ministry and faithful servanthood. But where there lacks faithfulness, you will be hard-pressed to find this type of affection and love towards one another. I mean, notice verse 26. It says, "For he has been longing for all of you, and he has been distressed because you heard that he was ill." I understand what's happening here. Epaphroditus even loved the Philippian church so much that he became distressed and anxious that they heard that he was ill. See, he was sick. But he had such strong love for them. He didn't want them to know about it, so they didn't worry about him. If you've ever been in a situation like that, maybe something happened to you and you tried to keep it from a loved one, you just didn't want to burden them, you didn't want to worry them. I heard of an instance recently, blew my mind actually, that someone actually was diagnosed with cancer and he kept it from his aging mother, such that she didn't even know about it. He didn't want to burden her in her later years. It demonstrates his love for the people, his concern for the people. Don't worry about me. It's not about me. I want to care for you. I want to worry about you. I don't want you to be distressed on my account. Faithful service is marked by this consideration and strong love. And if you're serving faithfully in this church, you will begin to find that you will feel so strongly, so loving towards the people around you. And you love the people you're serving with. You feel a sense of family. And we need more of that in this church. It's awesome to see that happening. Faithful service is marked by this strong love and affection. Secondly, faithful service is marked by close partnerships. Notice 25, he says, "I've thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother." He said, my brother, that's where that comes from. And then my fellow worker. And the wording for fellow worker refers to the idea of affectionate partnership, not simply an interpersonal or impersonal, relationship. And that's not what we're going for here when we talk about servanthood. When we talk about getting serious about servanthood, we're not going for like this business structure where we all just work alongside each other to get the job done. That's not that. We're down with that. We're not going for that. We're going for, you know, I look at you and you're my faithful brother. I'm looking at Matt Chapman. He's my faithful brother. Every day he's in the office with me. He's my faithful partner in this ministry. I'm looking at so many of you. Faithful. You serve faithfully in the ups and downs. And there are close partnerships happening in the context of faithful ministry. So let me ask you a question. Do you feel that sense of close partnership in one goal with the gospel? Because a mark that you're serving faithfully is that you have these close partnerships in the gospel. Faithful servanthood is marked by strong love, close partnerships. Now this is marked by spiritual warfare. It's marked by spiritual warfare. Notice verse 25. I've thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker. And then he says, and my fellow soldier. And the fellow soldier is a war term indicating that Paul was aware that he and Epaphroditus were actively engaged in a war against a common spiritual enemy. And that's important to understand. This is not come to church, twiddle your thumbs, let's shoot the breeze together. We're getting serious about servanthood. And if you want to get serious about serving Jesus Christ, the sovereign ruler of the universe, you're going to understand, you're going to be faced with spiritual opposition. Because this whole thing of servanthood, it's not just about putting on a green shirt. It's about giving your life for a cause that is dramatically and altering and changing people's lives. And so there's Jesus Christ, his mission, his mandate to save and seek the lost. And there's the kingdom of darkness that is opposing him. It's opposing us. And you can't get serious about servanthood without feeling the opposition of spiritual warfare. I remember before we planted this church a year ago, I talked with another Harvest pastor, and he said to me, he said, Jason, I want to talk to you about some stuff to expect. You know, one thing I didn't expect, he said to me, is that the spiritual warfare would be so intense. He said, I didn't expect it. He said, I thought I'd just come, we'd build a team, we'd start preaching. He didn't realize that the spiritual warfare would be so intense. That's why Paul says in the text that Epaphroditus is his fellow soldier, because they're not just shooting the breeze in this ministry. They are, in fact, fighting a war. Listen, a war that God has already decisively won through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And he's enlisted us in the mission. And so getting serious about servanthood, faithful service, is marked by spiritual warfare. And maybe you've experienced it, maybe you haven't. But if you get serious about serving Jesus, you will find yourself in the middle of a battle. But thanks be to God, he has won the victory. He's given us all we need to fight and to win. But we can't lay down and we can't be ignorant that there is an enemy. Faithful service is marked by spiritual warfare. The more faithful we are, the more you'll find yourself opposed. That's probably the testimony of so many people. If you don't want to be opposed, then don't serve. If you don't want to be opposed, don't be effective for Jesus. If you don't want to engage in the battle, then sit back and do nothing. Satan will have nothing to do with you. He doesn't care about you. But those who are on their knees in prayer every day, those who are in the Word every day, those who are rolling up their sleeves to sacrifice, to authentically serve, who actually love the people of God, listen, you are a prime target. You need to be aware and know the tools that we have. Because we are victorious in Jesus Christ. Faithful service is marked by that. Strong love, close partnerships, spiritual warfare. And then finally this, faithful servanthood is marked by risk-taking. Risk-taking. It's in verse 30. Speaking of Epaphroditus, Paul says, he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Faithful service takes risks. It's not, faithful service to Jesus Christ is not the type of safe service that we all sometimes create for ourselves. Like, I'll do a ministry that is safe, that won't hurt me, that won't cost me much. Epaphroditus was risking his life. Paul is risking his life. Paul's in prison and execution is looming. He's rejoicing, but he's risking his life. And listen, more and more and more, I'm realizing that to do ministry, listen, real ministry in this city, we are going to have to take some risks. We are going to have to risk that people don't like us. We are going to have to risk that people will oppose us. We are going to have to risk that governments will come against us. We are going to have to risk that if we are going to be faithful for the cause of Jesus Christ, this freedom that we experience may not be what we experience much longer in our country. We have to be willing to take risks. Otherwise, when the heat is on, the churches will be emptied out. Unless you want to be faithful. And again, even this weekend, things happening in our city, and I'm looking at that, and I'm saying, if we take a stand, if we are passionate about God's word, if we are unapologetic in our proclamation of God's word, listen, we're not going to gain popularity. We're going to gain opposition. And the sacrifices that pastors made in our country maybe 30 years ago will be different than the sacrifices that pastors make even 5 or 10 years from now. And the sacrifices that Christians make in our country now, in 5 years, in 10 years, will be different than the sacrifices that needed to be made 30 years ago. Because listen, we're in the end times, and it's getting worse, and the enemy is opposing harder, and the culture does not love us. The culture hates us because they hate God. But listen, if we're going to be serious about servanthood, we need to be willing to take risks. This is not gambling. This is not foolishness. This is not lacking wisdom. This is doing what you know is right, no matter the cost. That's what it is. So don't come to me with this awesome plan of how you want to take over the city, and it may not be wise. But it's just standing up for what you know is right when the opportunity is presented to you, and understanding that there will be a cost to that. It's a hard message. Getting serious about servanthood is not for every single person. It's for those who have resolved in their hearts that I'm going for Jesus. And I know this life is short. And when I pass from this life to the next, I want him to look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Yet going for Jesus, you will find yourself in the place of greatest joy, greatest satisfaction, and greatest contentment you've ever experienced, because he is the author of all of that. And he loves us, and he gives us what we need, and he protects us, and he's opening a door for the word for us. The question is, will we be willing to step through it in these hard days that we live? Let's pray together. I just want you to take a moment to think a little bit about what's been said, and try not to rush out of here if you don't have to. I don't know if it's just me, but it's hot in here today. But don't let that distract you. Where is it that God is calling you, loved ones, before we pray? Where is it God calling you? Get serious about servanthood. Is God nudging your heart and saying, wake up out of your slumber? Serving Jesus is not a joke. Wake up out of your slumber. If we want to see people saved and lives transformed, the church of Jesus Christ advance, we need to get serious about servanthood. Where is God nudging you right now, saying, you need to get serious about serving this way, right here? Where is God nudging you, saying, you got to look at it with what the seriousness of Scripture's put forward? This will be a moment to call out to God in prayer. I'm going to pray for you and pray for us as a church. This will be a moment for us to say, Lord, give me strength to serve you. Please, Lord. So we can't do any of this without him. Can't be effective without him. We are nothing without him. We need him. We need his strength and his power to be at work in us and through us, as he's promised to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone in this room. I thank you so much that this room is full of so many faithful people who serve you so faithfully. I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you for this church, how you have brought to us so many people who love you, who take risks for you, who are willing to count the cost to follow you. Lord, I pray that you would increase and intensify that desire in our hearts today. Please, Lord, I pray that in these summer months we would not lose ground and move into complacency. I pray that in these summer months we would take ground, that we would progress in our sanctification, that we would pursue you, Lord, and be faithful, faithful, faithful. I pray, Lord, for authenticity in this room, Lord. That's what we're going for, and only you can create it. I pray for sacrifice and lifestyles of sacrificial living in this room today. Lord, let it start in me, I pray. Please, Lord. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, knowing that you'll hear us and answer us and empower us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.